Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for choosing to be with us tonight. You could be anywhere in the world that you choose to be, but you chose to be here with us, and we appreciate you for that. Today is Saturday, May the 4th, 2019, and we are the whirlwind, everybody. We are who we have been waiting for. We are the manifest destiny of the ancestors that came before us. And it is up to us to take our power back. It is up to us to harness energy, one another, to nurture one another, to build with one another, and to support one another. So again, welcome to Movement 720. We're glad you chose to be here with us today. We're going to give a few minutes for the callers to call in. This is Queen Tahira. I'll be right back. We're going to go ahead and open up Brother Benzin's mic. Greetings, Brother Benzin. How you doing this evening?
All good. Sis, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
All good. It's a blessing to be here today. Welcome to the Movement 720. I would like to say thank you to y'all for even being able to make this possible today. It's just a blessing to be able to give the people another week, you know, another show, another opportunity to let these guys' voices be heard. I just want to say, come with that title for us to me in the day, sis.
I'm sorry, repeat that for me.
The title of the show is what now?
People do real things from struggle to victory.
All the time. I hope y'all understand that. Today, these people are going to bring you exactly what that means. I'm going to sit back in the cut and allow my family to do what they do. With that being said, I would like to open the show up. This is the Movement 720. I'm your host, OG Bim Bim. My co-host, Tyra. Y'all got the flow, sis.
I'm going to go ahead and open up the mics here. Greetings, Brother PB. How you doing this evening?
I'm doing all right, sis. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm going to yield to you and Brother Benzin to go ahead and begin tonight's dialogue. So I yield to you, Brother.
All right, dear. Greetings, everybody. You know what I'm saying? The struggle is real today. I pretty much really going to start this thing out for all. Real people do real things. It's a true saying. Let's look around at the state of our community. Over the years, a lot of us stopped doing what was real. We stopped standing up for what was right. We stopped raising our children as a village. We stopped teaching. We stopped leading. We stopped our progress. What does it mean it's real? People do real things. It means that we, the willing and the knowing, will stand against any injustice, misdirection of our communication, of our community. I mean, it means that we will truly treat our fellow brothers and sisters the way we want to be treated. No matter what, no matter if we are incarcerated, it means we will do our part in directing our youth to be positive and productive citizens in our community. Real people do real things means we will stand united against all adversaries, and because we are real people, we will not accept failure. It means that we will no longer sit by and around injustice to shape our community as a path. The injustice of MDOC has a tremendous effect in shaping our communities. Our brothers and our sisters are incarcerated in MDOC, are being treated very inhumane and cruel. They are being sentenced to die in condemned structure where it seems they have passed the point of no return. They are dying suspiciously, and no one seems to care or to have any type of concern. They are being treated as animals. The inmates that are incarcerated in SMCI Area 2 are being denied visitations because of their short of staff, and that facility has been on lockdown for like 5 months or so. But when it's enough. You don't have enough staff for visits, but you have enough staff to search for contraband. MDOC doesn't have enough money for staff and rehabilitation, but you have enough money for attacking the uses of illegal cell phones. If I haven't saw my family in months, I will want a legal cell phone for my loved ones. Real people understand the importance of communication with family. Real people doing real things will do what it is required to make real things come to a reality concerning family. When you have a loved one that is incarcerated, it is a big struggle worrying about their well-being and how they are facing tribulations and trials concerning their incarceration. And I have family members that are incarcerated. And it is a struggle at that particular prison of trying to go see my loved ones in this area or two. And I wonder every day, will it be okay for me to get communication with my loved ones? And I also wonder through the struggle of how their health and well-being is doing. And today the slogan is real people do real things to struggle for victory. And we have to understand that we are actually fighting for our loved ones that are incarcerated. We fight because we want them to realize that we are here for them. Everybody made a mistake. We also want them to realize that everybody needs a second chance at rehabilitation. And until we come together as a whole, guys won't realize, and let's go for males, our females also, they also need to realize that this is serious. When you have loved ones constantly trying to find avenues to reach out to their family in help or support. And, you know, that's why we come together now. Real people do real things. So what are you going to do for your loved ones, your friend? Oh, I agree with y'all.
All good. Go ahead, sis. Go ahead.
No, I yield to you, brother.
I just want to say before Dale comes on that it's that saying it has a lot of meaning behind it. real people do real things. That's the main thing I'm focusing on at this particular time right now. It goes back to caring. It goes back to having a heart. It goes back to having concern for the well-being of your people. If y'all have to excuse me today, if you don't understand that these people have family members that love them, people that depend on them, they have responsibilities despite their situation, that they're normal human beings just like you, that's a problem there. But going deeper with that, if you don't understand that you have a responsibility, as a person that's created, we all are supposed to help one another, whether we understand or want to accept it or not. At some point in life, you're going to be faced with a situation where it's for you to help others. This is not a situation where it seems like, you know, people are crying out for help. They need money, this and that. We need attention for these guys. We need phone calls. We need, you know, actions taken. It's deeper than that. You know, it's a matter where guys are losing their lives, and I can't stress that enough. Guys are losing their lives in this penal system in the state of Mississippi. They're catching diseases. They're being inflicted with illnesses. And all this stuff is like, it's back to back to back. It's going on consistently everywhere you look. And that's a problem that needs to be looked into. And if like you know, if you want to just break it down in real terms, you know, if you're real, you will understand that. You'll understand that that's not fair for these guys to go through that. You won't want your people to go through it. And if your people is going through it, it's your responsibility to do something about it. It's that simple with me. We fought this fight for a long time. It's time for people to stand up and realize that MDOC is going to continue to do the things that they do. There's going to nobody stand up and do something about it. With that being said, little devil, how you here, brother?
How you doing, my fam?
I'm good, brother. How you doing today?
All good, all good. It's good to have you with us. I don't know, man. I'm just, I'm going to give you the first segment of my letter of real people do real things. Real people do real things. I admit that should never be questioned. Real people make real mistakes, and often they see real change. They see real change because they have admitted that somewhere along the line their behavior led them to the consequences they are dealt. Prison is the place where most of these people are sent. They are sent for correction, for change. Yet when the overseer is correcting, is not administering the proper duties required, something must be done. Mississippi has a massive incarceration, and it shows that the system is broken. It has an unbelievable rate of recidivism. That rate is too high because the MDOC is not really being taken. It's only warehousing and punishing. It's time to ask our elected government officials to do what real people would do and fix that problem. The problem. What problem is what they mostly would say? The problem that there's no rehabilitation going on inside the system. The problem that they have taken out education. That they have stopped all chance of these guys in terms of society becoming productive people. And that is because they seek what? Monetary damages. As we spoke in our last segment, the modern day slavery. This is the same form that's kept our people down for so many years. And it's time that we speak out against this. It's time that we speak out against guys living in condemned buildings, being mistreated. It's time that we speak out. Because of this segment, as we spoke, real people will do real things. And we asking that real people stand up and do real things. Make those phone calls, assist those brothers behind the wall. Write those letters. Reach out to your senators, to your congressmen. And ask that we bring help to bring awareness to the injustice that happens behind our wall. Thank you.
What's good with you, sis? Can you hear me, Tyra?
Yes, I can hear you.
I wanna elaborate on something real quick. I know I gave this example of their brother Nipsey, but I know you've probably been paying attention. All over the United States, people have been coming together. They've been resolving past issues. They've been coinciding with one another to promote business within the community, you know, build up the community. These were individuals who were labeled as gangbangers, individuals who would beef with each other simply over color and size. These people are united to a certain aspect and focus on bigger and better goals. If a situation can bring that type of unity, if it can bring about change and growth, all the things that I was speaking on earlier a few shows ago about what's our responsibility to come together and up, you know, bring the community up, so that we'll all be a powerful group of people. If a situation calls people to come together and have unity like that, that's real. That's an example of real people doing real things. They put aside their differences for a better cause, a bigger cause, a greater cause. They put aside their pride, their personal vendettas, their hatred, things they've been taught, you know, forever to feel a certain way about. They put all that aside for a greater cause. Knowing that you have guys in here losing their lives, knowing that you have guys in here that are getting sick, that shouldn't even be, you know, ill at all, due to being healthy and taking care of their bodies and things like that. Guys not being properly taken care of when they go to, you know, to go to medical to get some type of medical attention. Guys trying to file paperwork and they're being mistreated by the legal department or not being treated fairly. All these things that they're doing to attempt to better themselves or put themselves in a better situation, they're being denied, violated, or mistreated some type of way. If you notice, again, as I say, the righteous thing to do, the real thing to do, is to have enough heart to assist. You know what I'm saying? To make phone calls and find out what's going on behalf of these guys, to be prepared to come to rallies, to send letters to the governors, the lieutenant governors, the correction committee, the prison, the clergy reform, all these people that, you know what I'm saying, are responsible or in position to help bring about a change in this situation. It's very vital that we understand what our responsibility is as a real person. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to look at the fact that this is a world where we judge a lot. We're motivated by opinions. Something a person can say to you can motivate you to do good or bad. You can also say that, okay, I have a strong mind and I can make decisions on my own. That's understandable too. But this is a world where technology, social media, it sways the opinion of the public. In other words, a perfect example is, let's just say, for instance, somebody gets on YouTube and says something happened to Donald Trump. In an hour, it's going to be 1,000 different posts about this, different people's opinion. Some going to say how they hope this happened. Some going to holler it was this type of attack. Some going to swear it was this person. It's going to be 1,000 different opinions, right? We live in a world where people have enough time to sit up and opinionate on something that might not even be true. When truth is in our faces and we're not doing nothing about it. If you can take your energy and opinionate on something that doesn't affect you neither here or there, or your immediate situation or your community or loved ones, right? Why can't you put that effort towards, you know, it's to the point where people don't want to hear the truth sometimes, you know, and sometimes you have to tell that, you know, get that out there. We've become a society where, well, society has become a society where a lot of things that's unimportant are the things people consider important. And when you have it like that, situations like these guys are going through is going to be overlooked. You see what I'm saying? And then also the fact that people become comfortable with living in this type of realm, with living this way and feeling this way and being like this. So when it comes time for people to stand up against something that's right, you know, that there's that, you know, it doesn't matter to me type of thing. You know what I'm saying? We got to come out of that shell. We have to come out of those ways because we're not a type of people to be that way. Love has to be instilled again. Caring, understanding has to be instilled again. That aura, that vibe needs to be a part of our communities each and every day, from the youth to the elderly. These guys on the inside are fighting for their lives, you know what I'm saying? And we do this week in and week out. But it's to the point where we need people to actually understand, people to make calls and say, hey, what can I do? What do we need to do? I know this person, maybe they can help. You know, we're looking forward to hearing these type of calls because, again, this show is a platform specifically to show that the stuff these guys going through is atrocious. It's unfair. You know, they need assistance. But it's also to bring the community together because without unity, we're not going to make it. We need the unity of the people on the outside. We need people on the outside to care about what's going on the inside. It's very vital. It's to the point where it's getting sickening because, like, a lot of these guys, they're losing hope. When you hear the stories, it's real. If you can ever get a chance to get a phone call in and just listen to these guys, you know what I'm saying, personally talk, you know, it should affect you in a way that it compels you to want to help. We talk about MSP a lot, but a lot of these other facilities have issues too. They have issues with the administration staff not treating these guys properly, playing games. It's so much stuff going on. What we're going to be doing is attacking and researching, or researching and attacking a lot of these statistics that we're coming up with how they're spending their money with MDLC. All the programs and things that these people are being paid for to provide for these inmates that they're not getting, that they're not having access to, but the people are getting paid for this. They're getting paid with taxpayers' dollars. Each and every person on the outside that called into this show, taxpayers' dollars are being, if you're in the state of Mississippi, your dollars is being used, misused by MDLC. We're not just telling you about an agency that is mistreating the inmates alone. They're misappropriating your funds also. It's so many ways to look at this, but the proof is in the pudding, though. This stuff is in black and white. You will be able to look and research that in 2018, I want to say 18, that they received $996,000, mm-hmm, just for education alone. And this was the year that this prison MSP, it stayed on lockdown, I think, like 7 to 8 months in that entire year. During that time, those guys weren't going to school. So why were they getting these funds for these guys to go to school and they weren't letting them go? Just as his brother stated earlier, they had enough officers to do shakedowns. It's always like that. These stories are true. If you can shake these guys down and then put on the news what you found, how you don't have enough staff to make sure these guys get an education, get showers, get yard calls and things that they need? They really put, you know, if you understand what's really going on the inside, they give you a lot of evidence for what they do themselves to show that they're not doing things the right way. So we're going to continue to give the community, the public, and you people that call in facts, proof, statistics of what they're doing, stories of what they're doing, so that you will know eventually, hopefully, I wish it would be by now already, that these people are really an inefficient management agency. They've gotten away with it for too long. These guys have suffered too long. Generations of guys have suffered too long. We need the help from the outside. With that, I yield.
Ashe, I'd like to yield back to Brother PB and Brother Dev.
Yeah, greetings, everybody, man. To speak on that, man, that's very true, man. MDLC basically allow us as civilians inside society, man, they basically tell us what they want us to know, you know. They doesn't enlighten the public what's going on with their loved ones, or whether their loved one is in medical treatment right now because of a brutal beating that was caused by the officer, whether he's been hospitalized because he has a limb that's been broken, or whether he's been concerning disciplinary actions to where it's going to be a situation to where they're going to take away the visitation rights for him we doesn't get intel concerning our loved ones, or we doesn't get knowledge of their health, or their well-being, and how they are being treated. But if we was to call in there, we'll be referred to the case manager, how they go about doing it, or their particular status, whether it's A cuss or B cuss, or however cuss they got it systematically set up for the inmate to determine their status. And it's sad because, like I said, I have a loved one that's incarcerated, and I be wanting to visit them all the time. But to go through the dilemmas that MBOC take us to hear all the hearsay from other inmates writing me, telling me that my son has been hurt, or my cousin has been hurt, or it's sad. And me trying to refer the information to their mothers or to their grandmothers or to their father, that's even more sadder to have to tell them the bad news of why they haven't heard from their loved ones. And everybody that's tuned in today, y'all needs to realize that, like I said, everybody makes mistakes. My family made mistakes. I sure y'all have family that also made mistakes. They just haven't been chastised about it or dealing with the justice system. But we have to realize that we play a part in their rehabilitation too. So holding grudges against our loved ones because of a particular crime that they committed or because of the circumstances that they are in or that they're dealing with, they still need our help and our support. They still need us to come together and to fight for them when they can't fight for themselves. And that's where we're at with this right here. We are actually coming together right now. This is the foundation. This is the starting process to come together for all our loved ones, for all the people that we know that have loved ones that are incarcerated, and to make something happen, to do something about this injustice, to do something about how they're being treated, to do something about the rehabilitation systematically that they have in program for all the inmates that are being incarcerated, to do something about where is our taxpayer money going to, because I doesn't go to work for no 7 to 3 and realize that I see $100-some taken out of my check, and they tell me that this taxpayer is going towards a prison that's supposed to be really bad and tell my loved one, and come to find out that it's not. And, you know, to hear that makes me want to, I need my money. I got bills, too. And, you know, even when we send money, commissary money to our loved ones, we also have to realize is they actually having the opportunity to spend this on hygiene and food. And it's not including all the rumors that I hear about the food is being roasted, infestation, spoiled, or out of date. And I know personally I doesn't want my loved one eating none of that. And it's not including all the unnecessary disciplinary actions that take place that where it separates us from our loved ones. And like I said, we actually play a big part in the rehabilitation. And I give. Where you at, Liddell?
All good. Speaking about real people do real things, you know, and the realest thing I can see myself doing is helping to expose MBOC. Ms. Hall has asked the state of Mississippi for money. Money she says she needs to reopen prison for the housing, probably house these guys. Okay, cool. That's more taxpayer money. But why you ain't tell these people this? That Jim Hood, the Attorney General of Mississippi, not running for governor, Sue Keefe, Brother Pell, Trinity, Centurion, all those companies that were tied to that scheme of Chris with former Commissioner Crook for Health. And you got $28 million that should have been returned to the inmate's family because they didn't swindle the state of Mississippi or MDLC or anything. They swindled out of these guys' family. But the money wasn't returned. If the money wasn't returned, then that money should have been put towards the development of rehabilitating these guys, creating programs, or creating better living environment for these guys. None of that transpired. So just as Brother PB was asking earlier, speaking earlier, the taxpayer money, where is this money going? Where did that $28 million go? I'm quite sure it could have fixed a lot of problems. It could have hired more staffs. You know what I'm saying? Gave these guys safer conditions, because if you don't have a proper staff, there's no way that you can properly guard or keep these guys ice safe from the things that you say are going on with the NMBOC. You spoke about the inmates being wild, being unruly, being violent. But yet you don't have enough staff to properly keep them there. They have been violent towards their staff. Unless your staff play themselves in a situation where, like most times they do, to where they become abusive towards the inmates. They play monetary game, you know, scheme game with the inmates. Sometimes things happen. But where is this money going that you keep asking for, when it seems that you've already retrieved it from the families? You know, and with you getting that money, you did nothing. You did nothing. The MSP party, those guys, those are condemned buildings. Those are condemned warehouse buildings. You know, it's been on the news. You can see it for yourself. She's been talking about it, but you ain't did nothing about it. You got a whole prison sitting down there in Walnut Grove, Mississippi. Practically nothing wrong with, but you asking for money to build some more. But in the process of building, you're not educating nothing. So we have recidivism. That's the problem. We have recidivism. And it's like it's by deliberate design that you don't rehabilitate these guys so they constantly come back. So you can constantly create problems and ask for this money. Let's talk about SMCI, South Mississippi Correctional Institution. Kitchen and Fish. Health department officials down there this week declared the kitchen unsanitary, said it should be condemned, maggot infested, mold infested. Yet you feed these guys out of these kitchens, and you wonder why guys coming up sick. But now, trust me, when it comes to the ATA, they gonna pass it because they bought and paid off. If you can go in these kitchens, you can smell mold, you can see it, then that's a problem. But yet you feed these guys. So where's the money? Where's the money? What are you doing with this money? Nobody's coming out rehabilitated. Nobody's going back to society and being productive or being positive. They're going to be decided, dependent. Dependent, because that's what you made them. Dependent to where they sit around, there's nothing to do. There's no program to join. There's no type of trade skills up and off anymore. So you just warehouse them. And they sit around depending upon three small meals a day. The high-priced canteen you give them. The things that you don't do. The no-yard call. The call at home, have to tell their parents different things to keep them worried about them. The fact that you publicize you don't have enough staff to keep these guys safe. This is MDOC. And this is what we call ineffective management system. And with that being said, I yield the floor. Mr. Bim Bim.
Boy, you cut a whole flip, man. I promise you. Listen. Don't run. Listen, come here. Come here, little Dale. Now, I want to touch bases on that, right? Okay. You said something real important for the listeners to understand. And I want to make sure that they didn't miss that. Okay. The governor, or the lieutenant governor, who's running for governor. No, he's the attorney general who's running for governor. Has sued this same food company that they allow these inmates to use, right? Okay. How is that possible that the state didn't know that this company was this type of company? How did they not know about this? So, therefore, those are grounds right there to show negligence, because if you have a politician who sued this company and he's about to be in an election for governor, there's no way he hadn't, you know, this hasn't been acknowledged, because anything that goes on with the government, and by MDOC being a state agency, he's supposed to be abreast of that. He's supposed to be abreast of that. All these politicians are supposed to be abreast of that. So how did they let this happen?
See, we have questions that we have to raise and ask these people too.
They have to give us answers for these questions. Those inmates are in jeopardy because of this. They're in jeopardy because of the decisions that the powers that be made and allow these people to have. Also, I want to touch base, LaDeva, on the fact that through some research, it was found out that Christopher S., which is the ex-commissioner who's incarcerated right now in a federal prison due to his actions as commissioner, was once, we said this earlier, was once the president of the ACA. Okay, he also had another title in the ACA, but this is the company that comes in and inspects MDOC's facilities each year. So how is that not a conflict of interest? With that being said, before you yield the mic, I want you to elaborate on that and make sure they understand where I'm going with this, LaDeva, because I know you understand we didn't discuss this before, but I just want them to understand the connections with that and how there's a loophole there that's not right. You understand what I'm saying? I yield, fam.
All good, fam. You are absolutely correct. At one time, Christopher F. was the president of the ACA, American Correction Association, which oversees the standards and guidelines in which a prison should be ran. So when you are the president over this board that reviews the prison, why not allow your prison to pass inspection or to grant your prison inspection, you know what I'm saying, because you control the board. And it's like they're still in that mind frame right now. You know, each year, these prisons are constantly passing these ACA inspections when they're nowhere near the standard rates that they should be at. And that transpired under Mr. Epps' leadership. And it should be a conflict because, as I said, I mean, why wouldn't you pass? You can only oversee something that I run, something that I'm in charge with keeping it an orderly fashion. It's not that way. So, you know, I'm going to manipulate the scene however that he see fit, because that's what he did. And it shows you with all the schemes that he got caught, with all the kickbacks he did. He manipulated the scene. He manipulated, he preyed on God's family for fun. So why not manipulate the system to keep it going? It's the powers that be, and he played right into it. But yes, sir, you asked the correct family. That's what happened. And that was the thing that needed to be attacked. Maybe the ACA should be investigating their way of investigating and doing the interviews of conducting, you know, how they go about reviewing these facilities, reviewing these prisons, in the condition in which they live.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
I continue on for you, brother. Sound like he had a little difficulties. But like he was saying, it's like this has to be looked into because there's a conflict of interest there. You gotta look at the fact that, okay, in other words, if we have a person that uses, okay, just use a Super Bowl for this, right? After the little play with the Rams and I think it was the Saints game, the Rams and the Saints. After the little missed call or whatever that everybody, you know, witnessed for all you Rams friends, our fans, I salute y'all, let y'all get in with that. But after they researched, they found out that one of the referees was a guy that played for the Rams when he was a football player, and he also lived in L.A. Even though that doesn't necessarily say that gave him reason to make an unjust call, it's the fact that you have to look at these things. Okay, if you are the president of the company that inspects your prisons and gives you a passing grade in order to continue to function, you know, make money for them, like, don't that seem some type of way, like, strange that they pass during times, right? Well, we have evidence and proof that these guys, with the living condition that these guys were in, were well below standard. I do want to say it took the efforts of guys on the inside giving information to people on the outside for them to get it exposed that the Unit 29 in MSP's kitchen was infested with maggots and other things that I'd rather not discuss. But you got to understand, like, okay, if he was getting these people passed and grades, right, and the attention from the inside, you know, through the outside, got these people exposed on how they was letting Unit 29 kitchen continue to run like this, right? Once they found this out, shouldn't it done on you that they should have did a thorough inspection of everything else? So again, either way you look at it, you can see little loopholes where it seemed like he used his power and authority to try to put himself, you know what I'm saying, in a situation to keep passing. But that alone, so you got to look at all these particular situations. That alone shows that something ain't right there. So to get these people audited correctly is something that needs to be done, because these guys are going through the same situations right now that they've been going through. Nothing has changed. You see what I'm saying? That's the point I'm trying to make. Even when this commissioner who was once over the MDOC, Mississippi Department of Corrections, once he was convicted, right, he was convicted for not managing this agency of prisons, you know, corrections, properly. I mean, if you want to sum it up, he mismanaged funds, all type of stuff, right? So he was an ineffective management agency, owner or runner, however you want to say it. Okay, but why did it continue on after he was convicted? Shouldn't the goal have been to correct these problems, to make sure that this doesn't happen again? How is it that it's worse, but these people are still getting paid with taxpayers' dollars? I want to keep adding that. You know, at some point, like the public, once you know this, this should upset you. You know what I'm saying? It should spark a fire in you. Like, no, these people are not just making the fool of people who can't speak for themselves. They're making the fool of the people who are working hard every day. You know what I'm saying? To make sure that they provide for their family, the taxes that's being taken out of your check, these people are getting paid with this, and they're doing the wrong thing with it. I don't think that's right. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how to say it, but mess with the paperwork to where you pass to get yourself overlooked, that's beyond corrupt. But you also got to look at the fact that this is how they've been getting away with these things for so long. How is it possible that they ended up putting the commissioner in a position to where he could even be able to oversee the inspections of his own prisons? A beyond conflict of interest. But imagine how these things was happening before now. How these things were happening before now. You know what I'm saying? Like, and still going on now. So that means it's a bigger problem. It's bigger than that. And that needs to be attacked, because lives are at stake and at hand. The well-being of these guys are at hand. You feel what I'm saying? With that idea, little devil, you are back. Are you back here, family?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you're actually right, Mr. Bim Bim. That is a problem that it keeps occurring and reoccurring. That's because it's by what we call deliberate design. It's by deliberate design because, as you're saying, these are taxpayer dollars, something that's always going to be paid. But as long as you have guys in and out the system, then you always have a way to get those same taxpayer dollars and misuse them, because most times the public doesn't really know what goes on behind these walls. They don't really know how these guys are treated. In most cases, most situations, they're only exposed to the light of what MDOC portrays to the public, what they advertise. In fact, right now, Ms. Hall is trying to create a bill to come up with a law to stop families from being able to question the health and well-being of their families that's behind the walls. She wants to limit the information that's given to the public concerning what goes on behind the wall, which will violate the Freedom Public Act, the Free Public Act, because when it's dealing with the health and well-being of citizens, and I understand that these guys are yet citizens, even though convicted of crime, they are yet citizens of this country. But when they deal with the health and well-being of citizens in a mass amount, then yes, that it should be public information. It should be public information on how you spend the taxpayers' dollars, whether you're rehabilitating these guys or not, or whether you use these taxpayer dollars to mistreat these guys, to warehouse these guys, just as you're doing right now. Yeah, and true enough, this did start on a lead ship, Mr. Epps. Since then, you've had Marsha Fisher to come in for his little short term, and nothing changed. He even went to, so far to try to suspend the visitation to the inmates. Then you had Ms. Hall come in. And my take with Ms. Hall is that she don't really know what's going on. And it's going to take the public. It's going to take the public to get people aware so that she can know what's going on so she can properly manage her agency. And with that being said, I yield the floor.
All good. Tahir, is there anything you'd like to elaborate on, sis?
Yes, just real quick. I want to chime in real quick and reiterate, even though our brothers and sisters are behind enemy lines, we are still taxpayers. No matter what we contribute on a financial level, even the brothers and sisters who are behind the walls, because what you all do facilitates the upkeep and uplift of the tax system itself. Even though you don't necessarily pay taxes out of your check, you are still considered a taxpayer, therefore making you a stake in the state of Mississippi and influential on what takes place with the MDOC. So I just wanted to toss that in real quick, that all of us are taxpayers, no matter what position we have in this society, and I yield.
I would like to elaborate on that, sis, if you don't mind, which I know I have, but just speaking in the sense of taxpayers, it's basically like a moral responsibility, right, as a taxpayer to be concerned, to want to, I mean, first of all, you should want to know where your money is going, right? Like, that's what it's about. We elect people in positions to make decisions for our well-being. These politicians make decisions on our well-being. Like, it's big. People have to understand that sometimes we live life and we understand how that we miss. We don't understand how things work. For those who do vote, you vote for these people to make decisions to better your life. I'm pretty sure you're not voting for a person to mess your life up. We all know what's going on, how Trump did it, but I'm hopefully thinking that people on here didn't vote for him. I would just like to pick on him because he said it. But the decisions that they make are very important. So we put them in positions with the power that we hold as voters, right? Okay, just as citizens, your voices count, correct? Okay, that's the same as your hard-earned dollars that you pay. You understand what I'm saying? This money comes out of your check. And they're not doing what they're supposed to do with it. Basically, they're wasting your money. You understand what I'm saying? And who knows where it's going? This can be looked at in so many different ways as far as the concern of taxpayers. And I'm glad you spoke on that, sis, because it's very vital that people understand, like, they should care, especially when it's about your money, especially when it's about something that you trust people to make the right decisions with. I'm pretty sure people don't expect people to pay taxes to make sure a prison is ran correctly. But basically, the money that you're spending is corrupting people. So in other words, you're housing people that people look at as criminals or things like that, but you're not putting them in a position to make them rehabilitate themselves and better themselves. So I'm pretty sure that people would rather want their money to be spent on helping these guys become better individuals and rehabilitate themselves to be positive, productive people in the society, than instead of creating people that are agitated, frustrated, you know, getting upset, going through things, tired of suffering, you know, got a messed up mentality due to the stress and pain that they've suffered in a situation that they shouldn't have went through that. Prison is not like you see on TV, people. It's not supposed to be that way. If it was like that, society would definitely not be safe. I don't think nowhere in society is stated where America is supposed to promote monsters. They're supposed to shut down monsters, but they're creating them. They're creating people with put it like this. They're creating issues with people that don't have issues. A lot of these guys are very intelligent. They have things to offer to society. They're very needed in their families, in their households. They can bring about change. Some of these guys are rehabilitated to the fact to the point where they can actually be leaders in the community and change a lot of things in the community. They're cutting off that chance. They're cutting off that opportunity for these guys by denying them access to the things they need and placing them in stressful situations. Well, it affects them psychologically. It affects them. It affects their health. You know, it affects them in so many different ways. So it's very vital that you understand what you're doing, what they're doing with your money. It's very vital that you understand that these people really, truly don't care and they're corrupt. And our goal is to shut this whole agency down, is to get it investigated or at least get it rebuilt from ground up. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you have to clean out the house, you know what I'm saying, to get things right. And that's what has to be done with MDLC, because if you don't, it's going to continue to be that. It's going to eventually be a situation where it's genocide and it's headed toward that situation real fast and rapidly. And I want that to be something that's, you know, people take with them when they get off, you know, the show tonight. Like, understand that these people are basically performing genocide from health issues to death and all type of things. So I just really, truly want people to understand that it's very vital that they understand that this is not a waste of your time. This is not people coming together for an hour and a half to talk about nothing. These people are coming together to tell y'all what these people are actually going through. One day I'm going to dedicate a show to all the attempts, all the different things that these guys have gone through just to bring about change the last 4 years. It's sad that you can't even stand up for your own rights. It's sad that you can't even, you know, speak on your own behalf without being mistreated. It's like these people don't want the truth to come out. The commission is trying to get the media to not have access to things that go on in here. That means you have something to hide. We stressed this before on other shows, but I'll say it again. It's so corrupt that they're boldly letting people know that they got something to hide, put it like that. You know, and still no investigation. So with enough evidence, proof, statistics that we produce, with the help of those on the outside, man, these guys have an opportunity to expose these people for criminals, because how can you house people that you consider criminals, but your every action is criminal? It's like we're allowing people to get away with crimes and letting these guys who are already punishing for it and got an opportunity to change and have changed continue to suffer. That's backwards, people. That's very backwards. With that being said, we come to the portion of the show where we allow people to come in and comment or, you know, opinionate or give advice or offer assistance or anything they would like to say for the show. With that being said, I'm going to turn the floor over to Sister Hiram. It's on you, love.
Ashe, again, if you'd like to chime in, please press the number 1. And we will open up your mic right away. If you're listening on your computer, you can dial in. Call-in number is area code 909-202-8701, 909-202-8701. Also want to give out the contact information real quick for the Mississippi Department of Corrections. And if I pull it up. The person who is over the commissioner of MDOC is Felicia Hall, and you can reach out to her. The MDOC web, mdoc.ms.gov. You also can snail mail her, and their mailing address, hold on 1 second, it's loading kind of slow.
Repeat it over for us again, Tahir. You know, man, it was, the system was breaking up. Couldn't hardly hear you real. You was doing it wrong.
The commissioner of the Mississippi Department of Corrections is Commissioner Felicia Hall. And Felicia is spelled with a P, P-E-L-I-C-I-A, Hall, H-A-L-L. And her contact information, you can reach her at the MDOC 633 North State Street, Jackson, Mississippi, 39202. Their phone number is 601-359-5600. And again, her name is Felicia Hall. And go to the mdoc.ms.gov website and check out some of the things that they say are supposed to be happening within the Department of Corrections, that, you know, according to our brothers who provide their testimony, those things are Alabama, Georgia, and I believe Mississippi. There has been some reviews, if you will, of some of the Department of Corrections, especially I think it was East Mississippi, has been investigated. And while the fire is hot, if you will, on the MDOC, we need to keep it going, keep the momentum going, keep the pressure on the MDOC. And by the fact that this is a sister that's heading up this department, Felicia Hall is an African American woman, she should be very concerned, because this, fortunately, the population behind the walls in the state of Mississippi is our brothers, who we need protecting the village, engaging in the village, and being a part of the village. And I do know that once a lot of these cases do start to be reviewed, some real corrupt behavior is going to be exposed. So we need everyone and anyone to get involved. If you want to get in touch with the National Justice and Freedom Movement, you can reach out to me. I go by Queen Tahira. Tahira@gmail.com is my email. You also can reach out to me on Facebook as Queen Tahira. And the National Freedom and Justice Movement also has a page on social media. So reach out to us if you need help writing a letter of support or anything like that, finding a loved one who is behind enemy lines. We can aid and assist you in doing that too. My phone number, 513-913-2691, 513-913-2691. And if you missed any of that, then right there are no calls. If you would like to come in queue, please press the number 1, and I will open up your mic, and I yield.
Oh, good. That number again was 513-913-2691. If anybody didn't get it, I want to make sure y'all got that. Please feel free. We're really trying to get as much assistance as we can, because we have so many different ventures and things that we're working on, different platforms, to give us more than one platform to assist these guys. You know, if things work the way they should work, we should have magazines, apps, you know, different platforms for you people to get more intel, to stay in tune, to stay informed on what these guys are going through each and every day through this penal system. It's again, it's very vital that this information is read, is spread, and that, you know, as many people can find out about what's going on as possible, because, again, it's to the point where, like, attention has to be given concerning these issues. I look at situations like on the news, where you have different countries that might have, it might be a country where it's a poor country, the living conditions are poor, the government is atrocious, they're killing innocent people and things like that. What America does, we have troops that we send over there, that we set up oases and different things like that, and get the troops over there and continue to train them, and we prepare to overtake, you know, governments for these countries and put their people and citizens back into what we call standard living mind state, government, I might say. And I look at it like, how can we travel miles and miles and miles to other countries to make sure the government is treating their people right when we have our own country over here and the government is mistreating people, taxpayers' money, family members? That's kind of backwards. At some point, the politicians and the government is going to have to be held accountable for that. There's a lot of people that fear standing up for what's right. I want to say that we come from a group of people. We come from ancestors and peoples that stood up for what's right. They didn't believe in not standing firm or speaking up on what's right. You know what I'm saying? That's how we progress through the struggle. The struggle continues now. It goes on. We haven't overcome it yet. We can't become complacent sometimes with the fact that our lives are doing is great. It's again, it's our responsibility to look back and pull somebody else up. You have parents, if you listen to some of these parents, they're really unable. Wives, sisters, you know, brothers, whatever the people are on the outside that support these guys on the inside. Some of these families aren't able. Some of these families aren't even in a situation to help themselves. And you have to look at it like maybe the person that was locked up was the person that they was depending on. So sometimes we have to be voices for people that don't have a voice, for people that don't have the opportunity. And it's like this is an example. You have all these guys inside this prison system who have a voice, mm-hmm. but they don't have an opportunity for it to be heard. Thus came the creation of this show. This show allowed us to let people know and hear what these guys go through. I can give you a million examples, you know what I'm saying, of people being in situations where if their voices were heard, things could have happened differently, lives could have been saved. And if you look at the little comments and stuff that go along with that, you have so many different people saying what they would have done. Oh man, it's not fair. They should do this. If it was me, you know, after the situation is over, if it was me, I would have came and did this. Okay, you have an opportunity now to make a difference. You have an opportunity right now to make a difference. You have an opportunity every day that you know about what goes on behind these walls to make a difference, because like there's you know, sometimes talk is not useful. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we have to put forth an effort to show how we feel about things. NDLC hates attention. You understand what I'm saying? These people can be crippled by attention alone. Attention that's gonna show how insufficient they are with conducting business and their company as a whole. It can be as simple as that. It can be as simple as a whole bunch of phone calls to a newspaper. People will call a newspaper and turn in an article about something, you know, petty. You understand what I'm saying? But things like this get overlooked. We discuss gossip and mess and things like that, but something where it's preventing people from dying, we overlook it. We can't continue to be that way. I don't understand how, with all the things that's going on in the world, that people respond to and look at as wrong, and you're hearing things like the person in the kitchen told the person that was cooking to cut off the maggot-infested areas off the potatoes and feed them the rest. Or, you know, 16 people died from unknown causes in a year. Or you got people in their mid-20s, late-20s catching cancer for unknown reasons. Or this guy went in and get his tooth pulled, and the dentist who had been there 30 years broke his tooth off in half and left the rest of the tooth in his mouth to heal up and cover up. You know what I'm saying? Like possibly causing future infections in the future or more pain, possibly more surgery to get the rest of that tooth removed. Guys having the opportunity to get their case back in court, but because the people that work in the law area are really not people that have degrees in that area, they really don't understand the importance of getting the paperwork out at a certain time, so they gave a lackluster effort, and now this person has to do so many years of his time, or probably the rest of his time, simply because these people didn't take his legal situation, which they're ordered to do, mandated by law to do, serious. There's so many different examples that can be given on what these people are doing is wrong. It's bigger than just the girl saying on the cute challenge, I would like to, now what she say, I'm going to go in and step on your homeboy's noodles a day at work, you know, things like that. It's bigger than that. These people do real atrocious things. They do real negative and violent, you know, unnecessary, unhealthy things to these guys. How can you have unsafe water and not inform the inmates of it? How can you allow inmates, thousands of inmates, to drink water that you know is not safe? When you have people who are responsible for being in a position to oversee the lives of people, and that's how they treat them, that's their mind frame and how they think, something's not right. If you watch the old movies where the warnings were crooked. It's sad you got to do this, but it's true. All these movies you see on TV, these prison movies and things like that, it simply shows the warden being crooked. It's funny. Say the devil, I'm going to call you just a second, because it's true. And if you go and research a lot of different cases throughout America with situations with prisons and the wardens, you will find that a lot of those people in authority, you know, like the warden's administration, they had some type of illegal activity going on. But these are the people who get to get on the news and give speeches and synopsis or whatever you want to give the public of what these guys are doing wrong on the inside. So for years this has been going on. You know, the people that's considered the bad guys are being mistreated by people who've been looked at as angels, but the whole time they're bad guys themselves. They're the real bad guys. You know what I'm saying? And MDLC has to start being recognized as a criminal organization, because when you have a conglomerate of different prisons where you have wardens who are getting away with negligence and wrongful acts, that's a criminal enterprise. That's no different from this stuff when they lock these guys up saying they're doing mob activities and things like that, or criminal activities, racketeering. All that stuff is true. When are we going to continue to sit up and rest easy at night and go to sleep? How are we going to continue, to go to sleep at night peacefully knowing things like this is going on? It should compel you in your heart to want to do something about that. You know what I'm saying? It's not right for people to know this and do nothing about it. And this is what the inmates are saying. This is the things that they're saying, how they feel. Like, okay, we've given the people on the outside so many stories of what we're going through. Like, we filed so much paperwork. We've made so many phone calls. But nothing has happened. When you're constantly fighting and you're not winning, you're constantly fighting and you're not winning, and things are getting worse and worse, that kind of affects the outcome of how you see things. You know what I'm saying? And it goes from being optimistic to pessimistic. And then you're on a level of where you stop caring. You got to understand what these guys are going through mentally, spiritually, emotionally, you know what I'm saying, physically. It takes a toll on these guys. So it's a greater deed for society to come together and understand that, okay, look, despite how you may feel about guys on the inside, they're human beings too, and what they're going through is inhumane. And with that being said, I yield. Where you at, LaDell?
All good, all good. Appreciate that, Brian. Appreciate that. You know, the truth of the matter is that something has to be done. You know, and that's what real people do. Real people do something about injustice when they see it. The things that Mr. Bim Bim has spoke about, those things actually go on inside the institution. I myself had the privilege at one time to spend 18 years inside the institution. And, the things that I saw, the things that I encountered, to the average person, those things would somewhat dramatize you. You know, see the negligence that occurs with the staff, the untrained people that they bring in. Basically, they bring a lot of time. They bring kids in fresh off the streets, and they give them a job of authority over some more kids as they would treat them. You know, or the mentality that a lot of them in, because mind you that the system now is filled with youth. And when I say youth because even though these guys are in their early 20s and early 30s, these guys have been incarcerated since they was teenagers, 13 and 14 years old. So they know nothing of being free of growing up out of society. And MDOC is being entrusted with the duty of rehabilitating these guys and bringing about some form of change so these guys can go back out inside and be productive. But how can you do that when you have untrained staff? You don't abide by your own policy. As I said before, and I said many times, modern-day slavery, the warehouse system, to where you warehouse them, you feed them enough corn just to keep them alive so you can get this money. And that's what it's all about. It's about this finance. It's about getting this money. But all around the country, they're talking about prison reform. And they say that Mississippi is leading the jump in prison reform. What that mean? They jump first to do nothing? because there's been no reform of prison. We passed the bill 1352, which is only another bill that you asked for so that you could ask for more funds to build what you consider a task force, something that should already be in place, because you know the problem. You know the problem. You're well familiar with the problem that goes on inside the institution. You're familiar with the fact that there's no rehabilitation. That is the reason for the recidivism. It's not so much as new crimes. Yeah, you have crime rates, but it's not so much as new crime that is overfilling the prison. It's the same crime. The guys have been, hey, he was sentenced 20 years ago for, he's released on ERS, he went out. You didn't rehabilitate him. So he didn't have a way to get a job. He didn't have the proper skills to go out there and be somebody productive. So he went out there and he slipped. He got caught driving a car with no license. And you sent him back to prison to collect the same amount of money that you had been collecting before, but yet you did nothing to rehabilitate him. That's the problem. And, you know, the time now is for us as people, as society, to get up and stand up and say that something got to be done. Something got to be done, because if we continue to allow this to go on, then our systems are continued to be overcrowded, corrupt, and inhumane, because nothing is being done. Nothing is being done. And that's all, you know, those guys on the inside are screaming out and asking for help. They're asking that somebody do something, because their voices are limited. Their voices are limited. There's only so much they can say. There's only so much they can do. You know, they file paperwork, but as you heard Mr. Bimbam tell you last week, you file paperwork to the same people that are committing these injustices. So you cannot expect to get, I mean, to really receive any justice when it's against the oppressors that you file the paper to. That doesn't work. MDOC, in effect, the management system needs an overhaul, needs an overview of somebody outside. You know, maybe the citizens need to get together and do what those guys did in Alabama. In Arkansas, maybe they need to get the feds brought in to oversee the actual MDOC and the things they got going on. But, you know, this is what we're asking for. You know, we're asking that y'all come together with us, unify, to help us to reach out so we can do things for those guys inside the system and try to get your loved ones taken care of and make sure that they safe inside the institutions and that they receive the proper health, the proper training, the things they need to come back and be productive in society. With that being said, I yield, Mr. Bimbam.
All good, fam, all good. Before we close the show out, I want to ask if Sister Tyra got anything to say, but the devil, I want to, that's a website that the listeners can, not a website, or a Facebook group or something like that?
Yes, sir.
That they can join to get, okay.
I apologize. We have what we call Mississippi Incarcerated Family Advocate. It's a nonprofit organization, and you can go look it up on the web, Mississippi Incarcerated Family Advocacy. Its parent company is Look, Listen, and Learn, which can be found at www.looklistenandlearn.com. We also have a Facebook page, Brother and Sister United for Prosperity on Facebook, where you can go look up and you can go check out some of the things that go on inside this institution. Mississippi Incarcerated Family Advocate is a nonprofit organization with a group of families that got together and decided that enough was enough, and they wanted to do something about it. They wanted to bring awareness and bring attention to the much-needed situation that was transpired within Mississippi Department of Corrections. Look, Listen, and Learn, being its head parent company, a nonprofit organization that used to bring change about with the youth, you know what I'm saying, how we raise our youth in our community, what we can do as a whole to better the raising and the upbringing of our youth, you know, to stop them from being siphoned off into this mass incarceration tunnel, you know. So I would ask everybody, if you can remember, we'll post it in the group on Facebook, Brothers and Sisters United in the Vision for Prosperity, Mississippi Incarcerated Family Advocate, nonprofit organization as well as Look, Listen, and Learn at www.looklistenandlearn.com. With that right there, I pass the phone back to you, Ben Ben. Those are the websites, family.
All good. We're gonna have some people sponsoring us too. I kind of feel it. Just dealing with people that are interested and people that are concerned And these people are going to be sponsoring through their companies to help promote what's going on as far as the rallies and things like that that is going to be in the near future. But I wanted to be understood that we provide this information for the families and the callers and the listeners to go on these websites and get further intel. This is our way of giving you guys all the proof that you need to see that everything that we're giving you on this show, everything that we're telling you about MDLC is accurate and true, current, and these things are going on each and every day. What we're trying to do is provide several different avenues for people who may not be able to call in on the show, people who might be working during this time. Hopefully in the future we'll have apps, something that you can always have on your phone, and we're going to try to provide you with fresh information, historical information, where you can go back and research things. We're going to put this stuff right there for you to be able to research and be able to see what's going on. And we're going to have our guy, RC, put that together very nice for y'all so that, you know, whenever you're looking for a situation and you want proof on it, you can just go straight to it. We're going to try to have MDLC's policies and procedures that they break every single day accessible to family members on the outside so that if their family member on the inside call them for any reason, if they have any type of complaints, if they'll be able to pull this information up and see what MDLC can and can't do and see how they're breaking their own rules, there will be another opportunity for family members on the outside to help assist and fight for these guys on the inside and have the proper information that they need to use against them, because they're not going to be able to win any type of battle when it's in black and white that they're violating their own rules and policies and procedures. So we're going to make sure that's a very vital tool provided on the app. The app will have, like I say, current news. It's going to give, it's going to make sure that family members know the weather of, you know, it might be tornado warnings or things like that. You know, just keep y'all abreast of different things that's going on. Instead of having to get it on MDLC.com and have things shielded and covered up and, you know, detoured to things that only makes them look good, we're going to provide the information that they don't want you to know about. Them guys have that right. And like I say, they deserve the opportunity to be able to have people see how they're being treated each and every day. We're going to commemorate those guys who lost their lives. We're going to keep that candle lit for those guys so that their families will know that they have people pushing for them and that people that they have people that understand what they're going through and wants them to have answers because they deserve that. With that being said, the magazine will be another tool that can be used for people to have just something constant around them to be able to look at, to be able to see what type of inmates these guys are on the inside. You have people with great minds and good hearts. Like I say, could be leaders. You have people that have ideas that can be used to make things better. These guys have, for the most part, you have some guys who never gave up. And I also want to give credit to the guys who haven't been given the opportunity to rehabilitate themselves. But I'm talking about the guys who went to these classes and got certificates for welding and you know, different things like that. These guys are more talented than just the certificates that they have. They just settle for what was provided to them. So another thing will be is we're going to promote getting more classes for these guys on a variety of levels so that they can major and get, you know, degrees because that's what taxpayers pay money for. They pay money for these guys to come in here and educate themselves and better themselves. You see what I'm saying? So we're going to try to cover all these different grounds and provide you guys with all the information to help bring these things to reality. With that being said, okay, all good. I just seen that. Listen, for you callers who want to be on the show or have anything that you'd like to elaborate on, all you have to do is call that number. Text that number, 513-913-2691. We would love to answer your questions. We would love to provide you with any information that you need pertaining to the show or pertaining to anything that can be helpful to these guys' situations and calls. is no problem. We want you guys' opinions. We want your voices to be heard also, because we understand that you wouldn't be on this show if you didn't care, and we appreciate that, and we would like to honor you by giving you the opportunity to opinionate and say what you feel like needs to be said or what you would like to say. We respect all opinions on this show. So if you have any opinions, you have any questions, you have anything you'd like to elaborate on, please dial, excuse me, I apologize one more time, please text 513-913-2691. And I promise you, we will try to address that question before the show goes out. Hopefully in the future, we want to have several numbers where you will be able to text, so that we'll be able to get you guys questions and whatever you would like to know done, taken care of on the show. We want to be welcoming to the listeners. We want the viewers to understand that they are part of this show also. Anytime you dial into this number, you're a part of the family. We appreciate you. We honor and respect you for your concern. So we want to allow you the opportunity to say how you feel. A lot of times there's things that you may have on your mind that can be very beneficial to us, things you might know that we're not yet abreast of, or things you might can say that can, you know, help guide us in a better direction. We're not perfect. We're creations of God, and we understand that we learn and grow each and every day. So we welcome all wisdom, we welcome all knowledge, we welcome all assistance from people who have the best interests of these guys' heart, you know, at heart. So with that being said, I just want you people to know that we do appreciate y'all. We come here every week in appreciation of y'all, because we look forward to people calling in and hearing about what we have to offer and informing the public of what we do. Next week's show, we're going to try to give more statistics. There's some things that I'm working on that I want the public to really know about. And we're back. I want to say that again. Sometimes things happen to deter you from accomplishing your goals, but God's will is going to always be done. So, and today's a testament to that. I'm thankful, but more importantly, I'm thankful that I'm in a position to bring about change and help people who need it. I feel good about that. I feel that responsibility. I take it seriously, and it matters to me. A lot of these guys, I've probably never seen them before in my life, but I care about the fact that they have an opportunity to better themselves and go home to their families. If you ever watch these videos, and I say this in closing, of guys coming home from prison, you never really look at the details. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you've never been in those guys' situations before, you know, and I never wish that on anybody, but imagine you've done 15, 20 years, 10 years, and you come home to your family, you got kids. You might have like a little 9, 10-year-old girl who loves her dad, and, you know, she's always been his baby. And this guy has a little outfit on that they provide you with. It's creased down. He's clean. His clothes are neat and tucked, everything. He has a nice haircut. And he's very, like, his whole aura is humble. And the girl runs and she jumps on him. And she squeezes him. She cries. She says, "Dad, Dad, I miss you. You're home." And, you know, as the video goes, it shows different family members and people around. You know, you're going to have a few people that's crying. You're going to have a mother or a girlfriend or wife or sister. Maybe some more kids that's sitting there crying. But those are tears of joy. Those are tears of... The word I want to use, Dev, is relief. If you've ever seen a moment like that and it touched you, imagine the kids who want their daddy home. Imagine the kids who want their daddy's home alive, to have an opportunity, that have changed. You see what I'm saying? That they come to visitation and seeing the change in their dad, that their loved one. You know what I'm saying? And they know this person is ready to come home. You see, understand me? And then you get a phone call saying that he died of stomach cancer. Or you get a phone call saying that he was misappropriately treated by staff, and we don't have, you know, matter of fact, they don't even tell you that. He died for unknown reasons. And that's it. That's what families are going through. This understand what I'm saying? We're not going to talk about at this particular moment right now what the inmates going through. That's what these loved ones out there just like y'all are going through. You understand what I'm saying? We care about those people. We care about the mother who wants to see her son come home. The mother that like everybody knows, your mother, your parents know you. You understand what I'm saying? And this mother knows her child, and she's seen the growth and rehabilitation in her son. And all she talks about every day, every Sunday when she go to church, about how proud and happy she is that her son has changed, and she can't wait to see the man that he's become in that world. Understand how that mother feels if she gets a call saying her child has been mistreated and it's a possibility that he might not come home. MDOC don't show this type of stuff on the news. You don't hear these type of stories. You only hear inmates being corrupt, inmates, you know, being caught with contraband. Those guys aren't walking outside of those prisons and bringing that contraband in. They're being used as props and excuses to cover up how they're really being treated. If and I don't test nobody's, you know, heart or authority or lawyer or whatever, but if you care, if it's in you to care, if you have a heart, there's no way that you don't understand that something has to be done. We do this show because we care. We do this show because we love these guys and we understand how it feels to be in a struggle. And you know that you've changed and you're trying to be in a better situation. And everywhere you look, the door's closed on you. Every time you scream out, you're being ignored. Just like that brother that lost his life and was crying out for help. And they told him, if you're going to hang yourself, hang yourself. He never got a chance to get help. The people he was crying out to for help didn't hear him. And because they didn't hear him, because they ignored his cries for help, he's no longer here. That is 365 days each year to her, each holidays, birthdays, Christmas, all this stuff like that, that a mother has to think about their child never being able to hold them, see them, their kids being able to see them again. That's rough. So what MDOC is doing, it's not just affecting these guys. They're not just punishing these guys. They're punishing people just like you. If we can get people to understand that, not just the ones listening on the phone, but the ones you may talk to when you go, or when you go to church on Sunday and you get up and tell people how good God's been, get up and tell the church about how all of their money on taxes is being spent to mistreat these guys behind these walls. Somebody in that church is going to have a family member that's locked up. Somebody in that church has a family member that's locked up. Somebody at the school that your kids go to has a family member that's locked up. Spread the word, because some of these people don't really know. They don't know what these guys are going through. And in order for them to know, everybody can't call in on this show. A lot of people have lives and things to do, or during this particular time, lives to live and jobs and different responsibilities at 5:30 on Saturday. But for those who are here, we ask you to spread the word. We ask you to let the people at the church know. Because like prison for clergymen, those are people of God who come together to try to help bring about change in the prison system. Let your pastors know. Let your politicians know. Let the people that's influential in your neighborhood know that their voices is needed, that their assistance is needed to bring this change. We appreciate y'all, and we thank y'all for tuning in. With that being said, Queen Tahira, we'll let you close us out. This has been the Movement 720. I'm your host, OG Bim Bim. We love y'all. We thank y'all. Where you at, sis? How are you?
Okay. With that being said, we'll see everybody next week, 5:30 Central Time, 6:30 Eastern, and 3:30 Pacific. We love you. We appreciate you. And most of all, we respect you. Salute everybody. Every
beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother and I say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking